If Congress uses the tax bill to rattle Obamacare, will healthier people still buy insurance? From Marketplace in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. It is confirmed now that Senate Republicans want to help pay for their tax cut by undercutting Obamacare. Senators want to end the requirement that everybody buys health insurance, the individual mandate. Based at the Marketplace Health Desk at WHYY, our Dan Gorenstein is here today. Dan, beyond politics, what's behind this latest push?
Math. Remember, David, Republicans want to make sure the tax bill doesn't add any more than $1.5 trillion to the deficit. Doing away with the individual mandate helps them save a lot of money. According to the nonpartisan Congressional Budget Office, it's worth about $340 billion over 10 years.
All right, savings, but at a price.
Right. The CBO also says, one, premiums would climb 10% on average, and two, 13 million Americans would lose insurance over the next decade. Conventional thinking is, if people aren't required to buy insurance, then young and healthy people won't. That leaves insurers with sicker, more expensive customers, so they'll jack up premiums or just leave the market.
Now, we know Republicans have been trying to repeal Obamacare since forever. If they manage to get rid of the mandate, does that do the trick?
Well, look, even if this does happen, and politics will certainly be in play, the subsidies to lower the cost of premiums are going to stick around. So will protections for people with pre-existing conditions. One question this all raises for me is, how much does the stick, that's the individual mandate, actually compel people to buy coverage? Undoubtedly some, but how many? The CBO is wrestling with this, too. In a separate report from yesterday, their economist wrote, quote, repealing the mandate is not the same as never having had the mandate. In other words, now that Obamacare is the law of the land, are people more likely to just sign up because of the carrots? They want the insurance and they get the subsidies and all that, not because of the penalty.
All right. We'll see. Marketplace's Dan Gorenstein. Thank you.
Thank you.
Stocks are in their longest stretch of back-to-back daily decline since March. I suppose it would be folly to look for one reason for this drop. Susan Schmidt is senior portfolio manager at Westwood Holdings Group in Dallas.
It could be because we had a time change just a few weeks ago. Days are shorter. People are depressed. The market's taking a step back.
All right. There's that. But what else?
We have a lot of things contributing to this. So we have discussions going on in the Middle East. People are looking at the price of oil and realizing that maybe all these discussions and tensions in the Middle East lead to more production, not less. That can lower the price of oil if we have more supply. At the same time, we have the tax plan and all those discussions going on here in the United States. People are realizing it's not a done deal. Fits and starts have happened throughout discussions around the tax plan. The market gets overly excited, then it backs off. Timing, how long the tax cuts might go for, what kind of impact they'll have, that's all getting tempered down now this week. So we've got a variety of factors where people are just backing off. And remember, it's okay if the market goes down. That happens. We don't like to see it, but it does happen. So it's okay to have it be an up and down motion. That's actually healthy action.
Susan at Westwood Holdings, thank you. There's news today. The consumer price index moved up a scant 0.1% in October, meaning inflation is running at just 1.4%. Actually, it's 1.8% year on year, below the Federal Reserve's fervent hope. People on both sides of the Iran-Iraq border are battling long waits for aid and cold temperatures after the terrible earthquake late Sunday. Now, in Mexico, it's been about 2.5 months since two earthquakes there, where rising food and fuel costs are complicating recovery efforts. Levi Bridges reports from the Mexican state of Oaxaca.
A cash machine spits out bills in the town of Ixtaltepec. Locals are lined up here to receive disaster relief money to rebuild homes damaged by the earthquake. 56-year-old Faustina Benitez, one of the people waiting in line, lost her house and her business. Before the earthquake, Benitez says she sold the topos, crispy tortilla typical in the region.
Yo hacía tortillas para vender, hacía yo totopo.
Now Benitez is out of a job, and most stores here are closed. forcing locals to shop in cities where the price of totopos doubled after the earthquake and still sell for about 30% more than they did before. At a market in the nearby city of Juchitán, Wilbur Santiago hawks fresh vegetables next to vendors selling dried fish and sea turtle eggs. I asked Santiago if the price of vegetables has gone up. He says, yes, the price of everything has gone up. Vendors say the cost of vegetables in particular have skyrocketed since the earthquake. But help is coming, says Salvador Perez, a former committee member with Mexico's Disaster Relief Fund.
The economy in Mexico is very stable because Mexico have a very important risk financial strategy.
Part of that risk financial strategy includes hundreds of millions of dollars that the Mexican government puts toward disaster relief each year. It's supposed to help cover basic things.
Food, shelters, water.
And the economic aid might help lower food costs. Eduardo Reynosa researches earthquake response at the National Autonomous University of Mexico.
In the next year, there's going to be a lot of money for the construction and the recovery, so that's good for the economy.
In the short term, the disasters have highlighted a very important truth. Many Mexicans were struggling to put food on the table long before the earthquakes. In Oaxaca, Mexico, I'm Levi Bridges for Marketplace.
And we'll be watching tonight to see what Tesla's new all-electric truck looks like. It's a semi, the tractor for a trailer. Elon Musk, the CEO, says the thing is supposed to drive like a sports car and outpull a diesel. But any trucker will tell you the thing has to be cost-effective. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.